guys, though, isn't there? There's something powerful about that just doesn't come across when I preach. But did you catch that? So the purpose of Christ in redemption was not to save us from hell primarily. And yet within, I'm going to say, the broad spectrum of the evangelical church, we say that is salvation, saving us from hell. As A.W. Tozer, who was considered the 20th century prophet, says, the purpose of Christ in redemption was not to save us from hell primarily, but it was to save us unto worship, that we might become again worshipers of the living God. In other words, too frequently when we come to this concept of salvation, it's a mental thing. It's I'm saved from sin. And what Tozer is trying to point out is that's a part of it. And the reality is that's it's significant and yet it's insignificant. Like it's there. It's going to happen. But the real thing we need to latch on is I was saved to something. And that's to worship God. And we get so fixated on the I'm saved from, and we need to transition that. And I believe that one of the key things of the helmet of salvation is to re-engage our understanding that we should be focused on the saved to instead of the saved from. And I throw a caution in here because I do believe that the helmet is to protect our mind. But we often think that the helmet will somehow protect us from everything, because unfortunately we've held on to a misnomer that we believe right thinking and right information is the only thing that matters. And by all means, right information and right thinking is necessary, but it is neither the end nor the all. The helmet is necessary to protect and give us right thinking and right information. But if our entire life is not transformed, it is of no value. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the author calls us to fix our minds. So this is where I believe it is important to fix our minds on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. So I think part of the helmet of salvation, the application for us today, is that in putting the helmet of salvation on and in receiving it from God, we do fix our minds on the things of God. Secondly, it's not only to protect our mind, but it's protection of our soul. I was kind of personally just blown away this week as I began to read and realize some of the resources saying that the head is not to be regarded as the seat of intellect. The head is not to be regarded as the seat of intellect. And metaphorically, the head is understood as the soul, the protection of the soul. And that the helmet of salvation, metaphorically speaking, is the protection of the soul, not the mind. Perhaps there's a bit of redundancy from the breastplate of righteousness protecting the heart. The soul is the depth of our desires along with the heart. It's what drives us. It's what takes us in the directions that we tend to head. We generally think of the soul when we think of salvation. We think of that forgiveness of sins. We think of the soul as being that eternal portion of our being that needs to be saved. The soul needs to be saved so we can go to heaven. And yet what Paul and other writers are trying to help us understand then in this picture is the soul is not just something that needs to be saved as if nothing else does, but the soul is the heart of all of us needing to be saved. There's more to the soul than we give credit to. And we're not going to break it all down. And there's great debate on it and what the soul is and how that all plays out. But there bears a much greater significance in the present life than we give credit to. And so the helmet of salvation is not just for the mind, but is protection of the soul. I think better clarification might even be found in Matthew chapter 16. A passage we like to visit, we like to read, we struggle even desiring to follow. Matthew 16, beginning with verse 24, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? The reason this is important is if you look at verse 25, for whoever would save his, actually a more consistent, I'm not going to say it's a better definition, a better translation, a more consistent translation, though, is for whoever would save his soul will lose it. But whoever loses his soul for my sake will find it. And we translate that as life because the soul is impacting the whole of life. And what we don't grab onto frequently is verse 24 then, if anyone would come after me, if anybody wants his life to be saved, he needs to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And we intellectually grab hold of that. We intellectually sit there and go, oh yeah, okay, so this morning I really want to have, you know, Frosted Flakes, but God wants me to have Wheaties, and so I will deny myself the Frosted Flakes, and I will follow Jesus in the Wheaties. And we kind of have this, I know that's kind of a goofy sort of thing, but we have this idea that, well, I just think through it and I have to. And what Jesus is saying here, no, is you surrender your soul, you surrender your entire life to me, and you give it all up. You deny your soul, you deny your life, and you take on my life, the life of Jesus Christ. Sometime I will preach this passage, but I'll just throw out a little teaser. Take up the cross is horribly mistranslated. Those who were in the thing in the spring that we did know what I'm talking about because we went down that road. But it's terribly mistranslated, and it's mistranslated because we don't really like the translation that should be there. It makes it more difficult. So we have the protection of the mind, we have the protection of the soul, and the third thing is it's the hope for the future from our salvation. The helmet of salvation is the hope for the future from our salvation currently and future. This idea is brought maybe into better perspective in 2 Corinthians, where Paul writes again. You can just listen to this. You might even start singing it once I start reading it. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. And then it jumps to verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And what Paul is saying here is that if we are bearing the helmet of the hope of salvation and we are looking ahead to our destiny and not focused on our present, then whatever we are facing right now, whether it's affliction and perplexity and all that's entailed there, or whether it's joyful and harmonious and everything else, whatever's going on here is of significance only as it forms us into Christ. But the real hope is looking ahead to what will be. And so to wear the helmet of salvation is to look ahead. It is to bring solace in affliction, to bring assurance when perplexed, and to bring contentment when persecuted. It's the hope which gives foundation to our joy that we are to have in the midst of our journey. And that journey will inevitably go through difficult times. And for some of us, we feel like we never get out of the difficult times. Hope aids us in understanding or at least accepting. And even in first service, if I read that, I don't know that we ever actually come to an understanding. We might at times. We might get to look back. In hindsight being 20/20, we might get to look back and have an understanding. But hope at least gives us the accepting that our present circumstances are being used by God to refine us into what He wants us to become. And so our eyes then are fixed to the future, not on the present. We can find hope. We can find joy. We can look through the most difficult times of our lives and see that we will get out of them in the end, the hope of salvation. And we kind of immediately run to the idea and the concept that, well, we really need that when we're going through the difficult times. You know, when life's rough and we're kind of being drugged through the mud, we're kind of sitting there going, man, I really need to look at that hope. But the reality is we need it equally, if not more, when things are going really well. Because then we begin to think, maybe I don't need that helmet so much. I don't see the arrows that are flying. I don't see the spears that are being thrown. I don't see the stuff that's coming at me. And that might even be a greater time that we need that helmet of salvation, the hope of our salvation, so that we realize that even in the good things, even in what as Americans we call blessings, which I don't, you know, we've talked about blessings before. So even when things are going well for us, we need to recognize that those circumstances in and of themselves are being used to refine us further into the image of God. Father, I ask that this week we would see the increased need and desperation to place, to receive from you, to allow you to place on our heads this helmet of salvation, the helmet for the hope of salvation, that our minds, what we think about, what we dwell on, what we fill them with would be protected. That our soul would be protected as those things, that information, that processing, that the teachings, all that kind of stuff would be filtered and impacting our soul. So we pray for protection of our soul. And we pray that we would know the hope that our salvation offers in our relationship with you, that we would understand the hope that we gain in walking with you every moment of our lives. And not even just for ourselves, but that we would know that hope so intimately, we would experience it so immensely that it would spread, and that we would invite other people into our lives to know that same hope that is found in walking with you, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you offer to us and you want to place on us this helmet of salvation. May we more readily receive it from you. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.